بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبع سنته إلى يوم الدين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to this brand new show coming to you here. And the name of the show is Live by Islam. Live by Islam. What a great name for inshallah what we hope will be a great show for you the viewers. Now why did we choose this name Live by Islam? Because we will discuss, as you will see over these shows inshallah and the many episodes, that the only way that one can live in true happiness is living by Islam. And we want to show the real and true message of Islam inshallah, Allah willing, on this show. Now before we go into the Before I introduce you to the guest, I want to talk about myself, the host. My name is Ismail Bullock, previously known as Lewis. I grew up in the United Kingdom in the very beautiful and quiet, peaceful suburbs of Epsom, Surrey. Now, I had a normal life as a normal middle-class Englishman. When I got to about 14 years of age, I started thinking about why are we here? Who is God? Who created us? What is the right religion? What is the right way? Now, I'd grown up as a Christian. On my mother's side, Roman Catholic. On my father's side, Protestant, Church of England. So I knew a fair bit about Christianity, but something didn't feel right. I always had this issue is, how can God, the Almighty God, Allah, how can he have a son? Having a son, it doesn't sound like a godly thing. So I started to look around and read, and what really was a deciding thing for me is that I went to my grandfather's house and he had a very thick book and it was called the Reader's Digest World Book of Facts. So I remember opening this thick book that talks about many facts around the world, and I went to the section about religion. So I opened up and I read about the many religions, and of course many religions have some very good teachings. Many religions talk about being kind, talking about being good to your neighbor, talk about, many of them have good qualities, but the concept that is the most important concept is who is God and what is God. So I started to look at each religion and I noticed that everything seemed to be the same, that they were all saying that there is a God, but we must pray to a person, or we must ask a religious person or a holy man or a prophet, pray to them to get to God. And then I went to the section about Islam and it said that Islam believes that Allah, Almighty God, he is like nothing you can imagine. He's not like a man. He's not like an animal. He's so great that you can't even imagine him, and we should only pray to him, nobody else. To no prophet. You shouldn't pray to the Prophet Muhammad. You shouldn't pray to Prophet Jesus. You shouldn't pray to anybody. So I said to myself, if I think about it and I close my eyes and I forget what my family taught me, or I forget what my society taught me, and I think, what should God sound like and what should his qualities be? The only religion that I found that described Almighty God like Almighty God was Islam. Shortly after that, at the age of 14, I became a Muslim. And obviously after that in my life, I started to learn more and more about Islam. Now I'm going to introduce you to my guest, Brother Iyadh. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Iyadh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Now, thank you for coming on the show. Okay. Now, you have an interesting... You're from a place called Mauritius.
Yes.
Now, some of our viewers might not be aware. That's it's an island in the Indian Ocean.
Yes, you're right.
I suppose you could say... I imagine they're quite far, but they're kind of close to the Seychelles, to the Maldives.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes. Mauritius Island, it's an island that... near Madagascar, and even Madagascar one is very big island that's next South Africa. Well, alhamdulillah, Mauritius Island, if ever you were to look at it, it's like a small dot in the ocean. And the thing is that we got to thank Allah Azza wa Jalla, Islam reached over there as well. Islam has reached that place where we had to say Alhamdulillah. And well, Mauritius is the place, tourism place, and beautiful place, and but people always compare Mauritius with Seychelles and Maldives.
Yeah, because I mean, those Mauritius is one of those countries that's like one of the, you could say, known to be the most beautiful countries in the world, yeah. The most fun for tourists. I mean, and it has a very French influence. I mean, even your language is like a, it's like a form of broken French Creole, isn't it?
Exactly.
So you have, you could say you guys have the option to have a very fun party life, you know, like people dream of, you know, having the, you know, you could have the beach, the women, the alcohol. It's, I mean, it's very, it's kind of the ideal, you could say, what they would say, paradise on earth.
Yeah, this is what they say, yeah.
But obviously you've chosen to follow a religious, or try to be your best to be a good Muslim. So that's also very interesting. So even though you may come, you may be from the minority Muslim, I think it's about maybe 15% of Mauritius.
Yeah.
Even though you're from a Muslim family, but you had all the opportunities to live a non-Islamic life, you could almost say as much as maybe I would in the UK, but you obviously chose to follow an Islamic thing. Now, what we want to do on this show, our idea is to start with the Quran and going through the chapters of the Quran and taking lessons from the verses. So, as this is our first show, we want to start, what better way to start than to start with the first chapter in the Quran, Surah Al-Fatiha.
Inshallah.
So I believe you're going to, what we're going to discuss obviously, but you're going to start us off with some benefits or some lessons that we can, because many of us read Surah Al-Fatiha in our prayer, but we don't really pay attention to it. Or maybe we understand the general translation into our language, could be English, could be Creole, could be like some of the viewers, even Farsi, who knows? Maybe Norwegian, Swedish, Danish, English.
Yeah.
So we know the general translation, but we don't really understand. You know, when we say, for example, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, what is this seeking refuge? Is it just a word? When we say, for example, Bismillah, what does Bismillah really mean? When we say Alhamd, okay, we know that means praise or thanks be to Allah. But what kind of thanks? So these are the kind of things that we're going to discuss, inshallah. And I believe you wanted to start us off where we're going to discuss the isti'adha, when we say A'udhu Billah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahabihi wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsan ila yawm al-deen amma ba'd. First of all, we thank Allah Azza wa Jalla for giving us opportunity to be here in order to spread his words and the word of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number two, we thank Allah Azza wa Jalla for making us among those who follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and for us being a Muslim. And one of the biggest ni'mah that someone can get after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jalla named the Quran as a shifa, as a nur, and as a rahmah.
So as a cure.
Shifa, Allah Azza wa Jalla named the Quran as a cure. Allah Azza wa Jalla named the Quran as a rahmah, as a mercy to humankind. We're going to speak about mercy bi'idhnillah ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jalla speak the Quran as a nur, as a light. When you look at it, Allah Azza wa Jalla sent the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he sent him with the Quran. Same like when we go to school, we got a teacher, and then we got the book that the teacher is going to teach you the book.
And that's an interesting point because that came to mind now, because many people say, why do we have to follow a particular way, or why can't we just all live life like we want? And that's an example, you know, that's like saying an example like, I want to be, you know, I want to be a graduate, I want to be a neuroscientist.
All right.
But I'm not going to attend any of the neuroscience classes. I will attend art classes. But at the end, when I graduate, I will graduate successfully in neuroscience.
It didn't work.
So it's the same way, you know, that God, Allah Almighty, revealed the Quran as a way to follow.
Yes.
So to be successful, we should follow naturally. The one who created us sent down a guide for us, we have to follow that guide to graduate, inshallah, successfully in the next life.
That's how it is. If ever you were to ponder upon the Quran, when you read the Quran, wherever you find Allah Azza wa Jalla saying, Ati'u Allah, straight away Allah says, Ati'u Rasul. Allah says, obey Allah and obey the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. If ever you love Allah Azza wa Jalla, then follow the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is a sign.
Allah will actually love you.
وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ and will forgive you. So this shows, a shahid, it shows that when the Quran is there, Allah Azza wa Jalla sent the Prophet Muhammad as a teacher, and he's going to teach you the Quran. You take the Quran how the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught you. So that's why we say the Quran is a nur sent on Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what was the Quran sent? It was sent in the center of the world, in Mecca. And definitely, when you put a light in the middle of a room, it spreads the lights everywhere. This is one of the things that the ulama says. But al-muhim, the Quran, alhamdulillah, is a shifa, is a cue, and it's a guidance, and it is, it's a rahmah that has been sent to the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad. Not only that, sent to the whole of humankind. When we're going to read about the first ayah or the second ayah of Surah Fatiha, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, we're going to get to know the rahmah of the Quran, bi-idhnillah ta'ala. Whenever, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, فَإِذَا قَرَأَتُ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Whenever you're reading the Quran, then seek refuge in Allah against the shaytan that occurs. Because we got to understand, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ, it means I seek refuge in Allah. I'm asking Allah Azza wa Jalla for help. Ya Allah, please help me in order not to get any kind of waswas, any kind of whisper from shaytan. Al-rajim means the curse, the thing, the shaytan that has been cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we got to understand, why did Allah Azza wa ask us to say A'udhu Billah before we start? Excuse me. Because the goal of shaytan is for us not to read the Quran. The goal of shaytan is for us not to enter into Jannah. That is why whenever we start reading the Quran, the first and foremost thing is to say A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Why? Because the goal of shaytan is to make you stop. Don't read. So whenever you start reading, you start the qira'at of the Quran, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, you find out that you find the peace, the tranquility that descend upon you, because you're actually casting the shaytan away. Then after that, you come to the Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. When we say Bismillah, first of all, now we just spoke about al-isti'adha. Al-isti'adha means A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. You seek help in Allah in order for shaytan to run away, to go away from you. Then straight away you say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. When we say Bismillah, in the name of Allah, it means Ismullah. Ismullah, the name of Allah. ولكن when we use the word Bismillah, ba over here is isti'ana.
So it's like a dua, isn't it?
Exactly.
Ask, calling upon Allah.
It's like supplicating, asking the help of Allah. First of all, you ask Allah to cast shaitan away.
Keep shaitan away. Keep then you say, Allah,
now I need your help.
SubhanAllah.
This is it. You cannot get the help of Allah and then you still find shaitan is still making waswas upon you. Cast him away. And then you start Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Why did Allah Azza wa Jal start with Bismillah? In the name of Allah. By the name of Allah. We know Allah Azza wa Jal has more than 99 names. Allah Azza wa Jal has many names. We don't even know how many names exactly He has. But over here, Allah starts with Bismillah. Bismillah, because it is said that Bismillah, Allah, is the best and greatest name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the name of Allah, in the name of the God, in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. You see, in one simple sentence, there are three names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bismillah, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. We're just going to go through it very quickly, because if you want to go, it's going to take episodes and episodes. But Bismillah, seeking the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most merciful, we could say the most generous, all these you could say subhanallah, ar-Rahman and ar-Rahim.
And that's, I mean, that's a good topic, because we find that many Muslims, and sometimes it's because maybe it can be some of the Muslims, I don't know whether we can say imams, but sometimes the Muslim imams or the Muslim teachers, they focus a lot on the punishment or the haram side of things, and they don't necessarily balance it with the fact that yes, there is punishment, but there is also Allah's merciful. And we know in a hadith Qudsi that Allah said, if the children of Adam, if they were to come with sins, so many sins that they reach the sky. I mean, we know when an aeroplane flies, we're talking, even if we look at the level of an aeroplane, 30, 35,000 feet, very, very high. And Allah is saying that if we have sins that go up to the sky, but then we ask Him to forgive us, He will forgive us.
Allahu Akbar.
This is like amazing mercy.
Yeah, if we want to speak about Ar-Rahman, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first and foremost hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has, of course, 100 portion of rahmah, 100 portion of mercy. And He has sent only one portion of mercy on the earth. All the mercy that we're actually benefiting and enjoying in the face of the earth is only 1% of Allah's mercy. And the Prophet ﷺ said, he carried on the hadith Qudsi, that Allah says, I have kept the 99 portions for my slave on the day of judgment.
I mean, we also know the verse in the Quran, the meaning of which in English is that my mercy encompasses like everything.
وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ.
So His mercy is so, so vast.
This is it.
SubhanAllah.
Even in the hadith, the Prophet Muhammad said, when Allah Azza wa Jal, He wrote everything in the book, and among the last thing that that Allah Azza wa Jal wrote before He kept the book on the Lawh Mahfuz, in there Allah Azza wa Jal wrote, رَحْمَتِي غَلَبَتْ غَضَبِي فَإِنْ فَوْرِلِي, my mercy has defeated my anger.
SubhanAllah.
Which shows the mercy of Allah.
Another hadith comes to mind, but the complete hadith is a bit vague. Maybe you can complete it. When I think it was Aisha, the Prophet's wife, she noticed that a mother was hungry, mm-hmm. and she knocked on the door, and Aisha herself only had a couple of dates, so she gave these dates to the woman, and then the woman broke the dates into half and fed her children, but didn't eat any herself. And then when the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, came home, and Aisha told Prophet Muhammad this story, and how she was amazed at this woman's, that she did mercy, she didn't feed, she only fed her children and remained hungry, even though she was already starving.
Yeah.
You know, probably to the level where she's sick because she is not eating any food.
Yeah.
And if I remember correctly, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he commented on how you see this woman's mercy, that maybe you can know the exact wording, it slips my mind right now, that this is like nothing in comparison, or it's only like a minute fraction or a drop to the kind of mercy that Allah has for His
exactly.
slaves.
When the lady came to Aisha radiallahu anha, and even Aisha radiallahu anha herself, in the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there wasn't much food at that time, and then what she had, she gave to the lady, and then, like how you said, she gave half to the daughter, and then when she was about to eat the other half, the daughter asked for that half as well, and then instead of the mother eat it, then she gave it to the daughter. And then when the Prophet ﷺ came back home, Aisha radiallahu anha narrated that to the Prophet ﷺ, and then the Prophet ﷺ said that whatever she has done, this is going to stand up for her on the day of judgment. And this as well, this shows you the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If ever you were to look at all the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah has emphasized in the Quran about His forgiveness, about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how He doesn't want to throw His slave in Jahannam. Allah azza wa jalla has created Jannah to put us in there. Allah has created Jannah for us to be in there. Allah Azza wa Jalla created Adam and Hawa. Where did He put them first? Put them in Jannah first. If ever you want to know the rahmah of Allah Azza wa Jal, look at all the recompenses of all the ibadah that we do. As-salah, whoever prays 5 times a day, he will enter Jannah. Allah Azza wa Jal erases all his sins. Whoever make Hajj, Allah Azza wa Jal erases all his sins. Whoever makes Siyam 30 days in a month, Allah Azza wa Jal erases all his sins. Whoever gives Sadaqah and Zakah, Allah Azza wa Jal erases all his sins. So this shows you that this is the rahmah of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah asking you to do all kind of ibadah in order for you to enter Jannah.
Not even that, I mean, even the simplest of things. We know that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, taught us that every good deed is multiplied by 10.
Allahu Akbar.
Some people, you know, all these acts of worship we do, we do one prayer, it's like we pray 10. And if you do it in the mosque, according to the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, it's 25 to 27 times. Scholars say the more perfect you do it, 27, and at least, you know, then Allah, it could go down depending.
SubhanAllah.
But, you know, so many more times multiplied by mercy. And even the simplest thing, like now the viewers who are tuning in to watch a show like this, wanting to get the reward of Allah, we know that the hadith says that whenever people come together to remember Allah or to learn about Islam, about Allah, about His religion, that the angels cover them with their wings.
Yeah.
And that mercy and that sakina, tranquility and mercy
descends upon them.
And Allah Himself mentions the names of these people to His angels who are around Him.
Allah Akbar.
So just for tuning into this TV show, with the right intention, I want to learn, I want to benefit, I want to please Allah, you can get the reward, inshallah, as if you're going inside of a mosque and studying. Inshallah.
Everything happened
so
according to
amazing.
Your intention. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. Even this brings me to one of the story that one day the Prophet Muhammad, after the battle was over, and then there was a lady that came, they were looking, was looking for her baby. And then the Prophet and the Sahaba, they were watching. They were watching, you know, sometimes the enemy, they will bring ladies, they will bring people in order to cheer them up. These were the kuffar, that were the way of coming to the battlefield. They will bring ladies, they will bring their family. But the Prophet, according to Islam, they would just go by themselves, or they bring some lady as for nursing. So after the battle, the Prophet Muhammad and the Sahaba, they could see one of the lady were coming and looking for for her baby. And she finally found her baby lying down. And then the lady caught her baby and hugged her. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the Sahaba, have you seen how she hugged her baby? If ever you were to ask that lady to throw the baby in fire, you think she would do? Sahaba said, no, Ya Rasulullah. She will never throw her baby in the fire. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the same way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hate to throw his slaves in the fire. SubhanAllah. That shows the rahmah of Allah subhanahu. That is why I start with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
And this is why it's important to show these examples of mercy, because unfortunately, like I said, sometimes us as Muslims ourselves make the mistake of not focusing on the forgiveness, on the mercy, and we focus on the punishment side of things. But also there are people out there who try to portray Islam we seek Allah's forgiveness for such a thing, but even that the God of Islam is all about punishment, where's the love? Because we find that many people who from non-Muslims, they preach God is love, God is love.
Yeah.
And that sometimes tricks people, you know, and they say, oh yes, you know, that way is full of love. God is love, God is merciful. But we don't see that because maybe their mullahs or their imams,
yeah,
or their sheikhs,
yeah,
or whatever it may be, are not showing them, you know, they're not balancing it.
Exactly.
That's why we know, I mean, from there's a very old scholar called Ibn al-Qayyim, who was known to be very good at giving very, very beautiful reminders. And he told us that this whole way of us worshipping Allah is based up, he says, you know, it's like a bird. You have love, hope and fear. So like the body, for example, is love, and the wings are hope and fear.
Okay.
So, you know, we have to worship Allah with love, and we have to worship Him with hoping for His mercy, and knowing inshallah that we were, you know, hoping to get His mercy. But at the same time, having that balance where we know that to do wrong, there has to be, if you could imagine someone keeps doing wrong and doesn't repent from it, of course then we still know that some people, Allah will even forgive those people who didn't even ask Allah for forgiveness, but on the Day of Judgment, He will, in His own ultimate justice and wisdom, decide to even forgive some of those people who didn't ask for forgiveness.
Allahu Akbar.
But we still have to have that balance where we know that we have to love Allah, we have to hope for His mercy, but we also have to have that fear that if we behave badly, like even in our normal life, and to Allah is the best of examples, in our normal life now, if I misbehave, if I go outside of my car and I drive on the wrong side of the road, and I would be arrested or I would receive traffic fines.
That's true.
So of course, for every bad act, there is some kind of recompense, some kind of punishment, some kind of fine or consequence.
Yes.
But it's important that we show here that, you know, Islam, you know, and Allah is compassionate,
definitely,
is merciful, is forgiven. Like you said, the Prophet Muhammad said to that, did you see how that woman loved her baby? Would she throw the baby into the hellfire? That's a very powerful hadith, because when they said no, as you mentioned, that the Prophet Muhammad said, likewise, Allah does not love, or Allah hates. To put His
slaves
into the hellfire.
Allahu
so this Allah. Shows you truly how compassionate and merciful Allah is, but at the same time, we cannot just live life as one big party and say God is forgiving. And I mean, if we really think about it, that's kind of common sense, you know.
Yeah, it's true.
You cannot expect to be given a great reward or a prize without making the effort, without, just like you wouldn't expect to get a first class degree without studying hard.
Definitely.
If you just went if you just now and again went to study and you're playing around and sleeping, you're not gonna be successful. So obviously you have to use some of your intellect there and your common sense, that, you know.
Saraha, if ever you were to contemplate upon the Quran, each and everything that Allah has forbidden in the Quran, it is rahmah. It is a mercy for the whole of humankind. When Allah Azza wa Jalla is forbidding you from drinking alcohol, is that a mercy? Do you know that alcohol is the Ummul Khaba'ith, is the mother of all evil? You drink alcohol, you commit murder. You drink alcohol, you beat people up. You drink alcohol, you commit rape. You commit all theft and everything. But when Allah Azza wa Jalla is asking you not to drink, is prohibiting alcohol, what does that mean? Don't you have a better society? Do you have a better family when someone in your family is not drinking alcohol? Don't you call it rahmah? Or you call it, your God is too strict, or Islam is too strict? This is a mercy.
Of course, this topic we can probably, in this show, in the future shows, we might go into more detail, but about certain things. But it's interesting that, you know, you find, yes, there may be a few people, there are some people who can drink a glass of wine, mm-hmm. and they don't. But for that small minority, there are hundreds and thousands, like you said, who, when they are drunk, murder, rape, destroy property, attack people, drink driving in their cars.
Marital discord.
And they're running into people. They get into gambling. So all these little things that are forbidden, gambling. A few people gamble and win. Many lose their lives, lose their profit, take loans, lose their house. The wife leaves them. So all these things that we look at, like you said, in the bigger picture, are a great mercy and benefit for all of us.
Yeah.
Now, we've pretty much come to the section where we're discussing, and what we'll do now is, this will be the chance for the viewers, after a short break, the viewers will be able to call in and ask us questions. And we ask, obviously, the viewers, if the viewers can please keep the questions to the topic of today, which we are basically focused on, you could say, the mercy of Allah from this verse in Surah Al-Fatiha. So please come back after this short break.
La ilaha illallah. I can't explain the world we in. I look around and see all things beautiful. No mistakes, He won't let us down. He's the one that can create all from nothing to something. So let us pray and let us thank Him for each day. La ilaha.
Live by Islam.
La ilaha illallah.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome back from the break. Like I said, viewers, the lines are open. Please do give us a call if you have any questions, if you have any comments, if you have any advice, any information you'd like to discuss with us, give us a call. We'll be more than happy to discuss with you and hopefully answer your questions. Now, Brother Ayad, in the meantime, we've been talking about, you know, Ar-Rahman. We're talking about all these great examples of Allah's mercy and how He hates to put His servants or His slaves, His worshippers in the hellfire. So this shows it's actually the opposite of a lot of false propaganda that, oh, Islam and Allah, there's no mercy, there's no love, there's no compassion, it's all punishment, it's all strict, it's all this. We've obviously seen just in this very short show some great examples of the opposite of that.
Subhanallah. If ever you were to look at the Quran, at the, it's all about pondering upon the Quran. If you just read the Quran, just like that, you might not understand, or you might not understand or know what Allah is trying to say. If ever, excuse me, you were to look how Allah Azza wa Jalla, he addressed in the Quran those who disobey Him. Now I myself, I put you in a situation that your kids or your students had done something wrong, they disobeyed you. How are you going to address them? You're not going to address them sometime in a kind way. Sometimes you might even call them names. But Allah Azza wa Jal, when He address the people who are actually disobeying Him, Subhanallah, Allah says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. This is the best ayah when it comes to rahmah. Allah is telling the people, all those of my ibad, look at that. Allah is saying, Ya ayyuhan nas. Allah is saying, all those people, all you people. Allah never saying, no, those who believe. Allah is saying, oh my slave, with love and rahmah, compassionate. Oh my slave, who has fallen into disobedience, who has forgotten about Allah, who has forced to do something wrong, who had actually gone through the power of shaitan. لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Do not despair of the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا.
I believe we have a caller, Muhammad Amin from Iran. Assalamu alaikum, Muhammad.
Hello.
Hello, Muhammad. Yes, we can hear you.
The name of that
English. Hello? I think we may have lost him. Okay, so we lost that call, unfortunately. Yeah, so
when Allah Azza wa Jal is, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is addressing the people who disobey Him, He mentioned them in the most beloved manner. Oh my slave. Or you could say, oh my son. Or you could say, oh my student. But you could think, Allah could say, oh those who are disobeying Allah. No, Allah said, oh my slave, with mercy. Do not despair of the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. Don't think that Allah Azza wa Jal, now you've done all this sin, you've fallen into this disobedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. Don't think that it's finished, over. La inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. This is one of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He forgives all sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all sins. Only one sin He does not forgive, if you die upon that state, is shirk.
Which is, so, you know, which is obviously, shirk here is obviously, for some of the viewers who might not know that, is when you worship others other than Allah, or alongside with Allah. So Allah forgives all sins, except, as the Quran says, except that you worship alongside with Him anybody else, and then He forgives all the others to whoever he wills.
Yes.
So that's important because, you know, many people make the mistake of, there may be people who pray to the Prophet Muhammad, saying he was a great prophet, I'll pray to him, I'll make dua to him, I'll go to his grave. There may be people who go to make dua to the Prophet Isa, Jesus, peace be upon him. There may be those who do it to Abraham. There may be those who go to the grave of Abu Bakr. They may go to the grave of Hassan and Hussein, for example. Mm-hmm. And so that was an interesting input from Brother Muhammad.
Inshallah, tabarakallah. This is what happens when someone wants guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter where he's from, no matter which religion he is from, if ever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if someone wants guidance, and then Allah Azza wa Jal look into his heart, and he knows this one wants guidance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yahdi man yasha wa yudillu man yasha. Allah Azza wa Jal, he guides whomever he wishes, and he sends ask to whomever he wishes. And you could be from the religion of Christianity, or Judaism, or Hinduism, or even in different kind of sect that's not according to the Quran, the Sunnah, and you want guidance, Allah Azza wa Jal will guide you. At the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he guides who among those people who are looking for guidance. And Muhammad, may Allah Azza wa Jal keep him thabat and firm into the religion until he meets his Lord, inshaAllah. And this is one of the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
We have a live rahmah from Muhammad is that, you know, he found
the truth. He found the
rule, right way.
Exactly, the way the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he found the way of how we should actually follow the Quran, the book that was sent of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, following the step of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the step of the students of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba, including Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali, even Hassan and Hussein, all of them, they were all following the Quran according to the teaching of who? Of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That is why until today we have to follow the same teachings.
I mean, obviously, and this is the advice we're giving not only to a particular group of people,
yeah,
you know, even from people who are classed as Sunni Muslims. We have many Sunni Muslims who are also doing very bad things, who are doing things that go against Islamic teachings, like praying to dead people, going to graves. So it's not exclusively we are addressing our advice to a particular group. This is advice that we believe is for the whole of mankind.
This is very
true.
To
look at the Quran with an open mind, look at the teachings of Islam with an open mind, and say to yourself, what I'm practicing, does this make sense? Or does this, you know, belief system of Islam, does this actually sound like the proper worship, the real God, the true and only God and creator of everything? And therefore, if it does, then I should be worshipping him like he deserves to be worshipped.
Exactly, this is it. We are all Muslims. We are Muslim that we submit ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't want to tag ourselves to any names, and we are the one who will believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we follow the Quran, and we follow the Quran according to the teachings of the early predecessors, the Prophet sallam, the Tabi'in, the Sahaba, the Tabi'in, Ba'd Tabi'in, which means the Sahaba, and those who came after the Sahaba, the Tabi'in, and those who came after the Tabi'in.
And obviously, when we say as well that the Sahaba, from the Sahaba, of course, were many noble people from Ahlul Bayt, from the family of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
Definitely.
Like you mentioned, Ali radiallahu anhu,
Fatima,
Hassan radiallahu anhu, Hussein Fatima radiallahu anha. Many of these people,
yes,
were also from this great generation that we
are following.
Follow, and we must, yeah, follow, we must respect.
We love.
And we must, how many times we quote hadith
that Ali ibn Abi
narrated
Talib,
by Ali radiallahu anhu,
Hussein,
by Hassan and Hussein, by Abu Bakr, all of them.
Yeah.
And these are the people that, you know, were with the Prophet Muhammad, and we can follow from their,
yeah,
example.
Very good. But you make a very good point before the brother called. Now we're going to get that point to that statement we just said now. When you were explaining about shirk, that when Allah Azza said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he forgive all the sins. except that if you have died in a state of associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shirk meant to associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what does that mean? Definitely, if ever you fell into shirk and then you realized, we just spoke about the rahmah and the maghfirah of Allah, the forgiveness of Allah Azza wa Jalla, you realize you did shirk, you fell into that disobedience of Allah, and then you repent, Allah Azza wa Jalla is going to accept your repentance.
Now we have another call, Muhammad from Iran. Assalamu alaikum, Muhammad. Hello. We'll see. Unfortunately, we lost Muhammad. I think it's the same Muhammad from earlier.
Yeah.
Before London, we had a Muhammad from Iran. Unfortunately, he's having problems with his line.
Yeah, definitely. And when it comes to a shirk means, before knowing shirk, we should know what is La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah, tawheed. La ilaha illallah means there is none worthy of worship except Allah. There is none worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the kalimat of tawheed.
So first you're negating, you're doing negation. Yes. You're saying that there is nothing whatsoever in any way.
Whatsoever. La ma'bud bihaqqin illallah.
And then you're affirming and saying, except Allah.
Except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So there's nothing whatsoever in any form or format that should be worshipped.
Except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you get that statement, you believe in that statement, and at the same time, you might be doing some kind of ibadah that you think is getting you near Allah Azza wa Jal. But in reality, you're opening your door of Jahannam. How, like how you mentioned, people believe, I can go and call upon the dead. This is called associating partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can go and ask for example shifa from people who already passed away. You can go and try to ask for example Abu Bakr, like how you said, or Umar bin Khattab, or even the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You're not allowed to ask. Innaka mayyitun fa innahum mayyitun. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. People who pass away, they cannot help you whatsoever. So now if you find people from among the Muslim who call themselves Muslim, they go to the graveyard and they ask the dead, ask Allah Azza wa Jal, this is shirk. You go, you find people who elevate some kind of other people to the level of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is shirk. Because
So if we said, for example, there are people who know the future, they know the ghaib, they know what's happening tomorrow, what's going to happen next week, we can go to them, they can tell us the future. If we go to them, they can tell us the future. All of this would be under the category, of course, again, of
definitely
of shirk.
Definitely.
People of who just go. Making this person in this aspect like Allah.
La ya'lamu al-ghaib illa Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even he's in the Quran, even the Prophet Muhammad said, وَلَا يَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبِ. Even the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who used to receive revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he never knew the unseen.
And that reminds me when the angel Jibreel came to him one time in the form of a man who was dressed in very white, clean garments with straight black hair, which was strange because he came out of nowhere, no one knew him. So in theory, if he was a human, he would have traveled and through the desert would have been very rough, messy hair, sand on him.
Yeah.
And one of the questions he asked him, and maybe another episode in the future will have that whole hadith, because it's a really good hadith about what is Islam and what is Iman. But moving on to later in that hadith, he said to him, أخبرني عن الساعة, you know, tell me, you know, when the day of judgment, when it is. And the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, the one who's asking, as in you, Angel Jibreel, knows no more than me.
Exactly.
Meaning we both don't know. And then obviously he said to him, so tell me some of its signs. So this shows us, well, the Prophet Muhammad is saying, I don't know the unseen. I have certain things Allah has revealed to me, but there's many other things that
I don't know. وَلَا يَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبِ. Even like it comes even in the Quran, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ قُلْ إِنَّمَا عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ رَبِّي. Allah, even when they come and ask you about the hour, nobody knows except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It shows that the Prophet Muhammad himself He didn't know the unseen except what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would reveal upon him. So if you, now you go and call upon any individual from the Sahaba, from the Tabi'een, or anyone, this makes you fall into shirk. And if ever you die upon that state, it's not my word and it's not your word. It's the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will not be forgiven. I know it sounds harsh, but this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Any other sins that you commit, on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by His mercy, He may forgive you. But if ever you die upon the state of shirk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the door of Jannah is closed. This is it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He made it there. Except shirk, I'm not going to forgive. This is a very good point that you made, that many Muslims, they call themselves Muslim, they fall into that particular sin about a shirk where they don't even know themselves. They don't realize that shaitan make their sin fair-seeming. Allah says in the Quran, وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَانَهُمْ.
That the shaitan has beautified their acts. Has made them seem, and that's what you see. Some people, they really think that, you know, these things are so Islamic and so good, and they just don't realize that this is actually, Islam came to say that don't pray to anyone who's dead. Don't say, Ya Muhammad. Yeah. Don't say, Ya Isa, Ya Ibrahim, Ya Musa, no. Ya Abu Bakr, Ya Umar, yeah. Ya Ali. Nothing. Say, Ya Allah only. Yeah,
that's it.
But the shaitan has made people think, yeah, that this is the best worship I can do,
Allah,
when
Allah,
it's actually opposite. Subhanallah. You know?
This is very, very true.
Nobody.
This is the thing of shaitan. This is the goal of shaitan. Was it, you know, like he'll make not actually beautiful. Allah, the shaitan will make like the deed fair seeming, which means that it looks okay. Whatever you're doing, it looks fine. This is it. Like even shaitan, when he had the conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Iblis. ثُمَّ لَأَيْدِ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِهِمْ وَعَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ وَعَنْ شَمَائِنِهِمْ وَلَا تَجُوا أَكْثَرُ مُشَاكِرُ. Shaitan will come in from between you, from the back of you, from the right and the left side, in order for you to go away from the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us strength and to show us the right path. The path of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Always remember, Allah says, whenever he said obey me, straight away he said obey Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Well, it's been a great first show, and inshallah we'll continue on these topics related to Surah Al-Fatiha, inshallah, in forthcoming episodes. And for you, the viewers, thank you very much for joining in to this, the first show. And please do continue to tune in weekly, same time, same place. And inshallah, until next time, I leave you with the greetings of Islam, the greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum.